Good morning, Maranatha. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable, and it is time for a Sunday morning sermon right here on our website. If you have your Bibles this morning, please open them to Psalms 1, verses 1 through 3, on the subject, the blessing of willing obedience. The blessing of willing obedience. Before we read from Psalm 1, I want to give you another scripture. I won't give you chapter and verse for time's sake. I have to look it up. I should know it by heart. But it's in the Old Covenant, and it says this: if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. If you refuse and rebel, you will be destroyed by the sword. Your enemies will prevail over you. They will conquer you. They will seek to destroy you. You won't have my favor. You won't have my covering over your life. Amen. Friend of mine, I can't afford that. I don't know about you, but now more than ever, I need God's favor, God's covering, God's protection over my life. I want to be able to say with David of old, "Thou, O Lord, art a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head." Hallelujah. Dear friend, today, God is looking for willing obedience. And if you be willing and obedient. You see, you can be obedient without being willing, and it won't bless you, and it most certainly won't bless the Lord. If any man give, and we're going to get this out of the money thing, but you can't separate it too far from it. If any man give, not only money, but give of himself in any sense to serve God obediently and effectively, therefore, if any man give, let him not give grudgingly, nor out of necessity. You know, if you're going to be part of some churches, there's a percentage they're going to require that you give. And if you give less than that percentage, you won't be able to be part of that ministry. I understand budgets. I understand bills. I understand wanting responsible people to be members and do any voting. I understand all of that. But I don't believe that we can really pronounce the Word of God's blessings on people for giving if they're not giving from the heart. Can't be out of necessity, and it can't be grudgingly. The story is told of little Jimmy, little Johnny. Usually it's Johnny. Jimmy will get in on some of them, but one of those little precocious boys. He's at school and he's disobedient in class. He's a class clown. He's acting up and acting out, and he's stubborn and he's hard-headed. And the teacher tells him, "I want you to go and stand in that corner until you learn to be quiet." And he stubbornly walks over. He's obedient, you see, and he stands in the corner. But he mumbles under his breath where the teacher can't hear him, "I'm sitting down on the inside." In other words, I'm obeying, but I'm not willing. I'm still willful. I'm not willing to obey. I'm still, that stubborn streak is still in me. And you can't break me because inside I'm sitting down. That's what it means to obey grudgingly and then expect to be blessed. It all begins with the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance. That's as far as we can see. And it looks good when people give and they show up for things at church and they do this, that, and the other, keeping, you know, religiously. But when you do it out of a relationship of intimacy with God and with Jesus, because you love Him, it changes everything. Amen. And there's a blessing that is pronounced upon willing obedience. If we will become real deal, authentic followers of Jesus in these days when there's false prophets in the land, false preachers in pulpits, motivating, stimulating people to give money, without ever asking them to give their life to Christ after getting saved. They just want them to give money with the promise of the wealth of the world. People are still waiting for the wealth of the Gentiles, wealth of the world to be given to the believers. I know the scriptures. I know the twisted, taken out of context scriptures. I heard one taken so far out of context that a man that preached for years and ended up falling himself and leading so many people into the ditch with him. Blind lead the blind. Everyone ends up in the ditch, the scriptures teach us. And he said, if you release your faith and you give and you seed into this ministry and release your faith in God, you can chart your own course. In other words, you can have anything you say, anything your heart desires, if you will just give in order to get what you want. You know, there's an actual scripture in the Old Covenant that contradicts that whole concept. And it says, it's not within man that walketh to chart his own course. It's not in man that walketh to choose his own way. We're supposed to bow. We're supposed to acquiesce. We're supposed to seek to go God's way and not my way. What is the little adage that says when we pray, my name's Jimmy, I want all you give me. Amen. There's so many people trying to find a formula to get as wealthy as the people on Wall Street. Listen, it may cost you something to follow Jesus, but it will be worth it. For the fulfillment we have in pleasing Him, in showing gratitude for all He has given us when He died for us on the cross. God honors willful obedience. So be ye followers of God as dear children. What are dear children like? May not be yours or mine. I don't know what yours is like. I got a dear son right here at home with me. I had a son in heaven that was a dear son, but he got messed up when he got away from home and got out in the world, but he came back to the Lord. A dear son is one who is, or daughter is one who is respectful, not resentful, respectful, that is filled with gratitude for what mom and dad both do in order to bless them and provide for them, and shows that gratitude by willful obedience. Listen, friend of mine, there's nothing like it to God. That's why He says, if any man give, financially He's talking about, but it goes beyond finance. It goes to the whole of our being. If any man give, listen to a way we give beyond financial, but it'll take care of that. That'll be, you know, when God has your heart, He'll have your wallet too. But if He don't have your heart, you can stack the offering plate full and you can't claim any blessing from God. It's willful obedience, willing obedience that He blesses. Amen. That's why the scripture says, if any man give, let him give not grudgingly, nor out of necessity, but willingly. For the Lord loves a cheerful giver. That cheerful giving, that cheerful means hilarious. I mean, it's something we're so glad to do in order to show God how much we appreciate the gift of His only begotten Son to die on the cross for us, and to show Jesus who died on that cross for us a long, drawn out, suffering and agonizing death to save us, how much we love Him. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and they are not grievous, the scripture said. We don't walk around with a long face because we just have to serve God. Oh boy, I'd love to go out and get drunk and wreck my car and end up in jail with the DUI. Oh, I'm missing so much. Going out there and indulging my flesh in every sin I can find because I got to walk the line. Oh, friend of mine, you'll never walk the line, number one, with that attitude. You will never crucify the flesh. Take up your cross. That's what it means to take up your cross. Amen. It's not, oh, poor me, I'm being persecuted. They're ostracizing me because I'm a disciple of Jesus. No, the prerequisite is this: deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. And the scripture said in Ephesians 5, once again, be ye followers of God as dear children, and walk in love even as Jesus Christ. Amen. Offer your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Literally, don't let the world press you into its mold. Let God put you into His mold. And that mold is Jesus, praise God, becoming more like Jesus, beginning with obeying God from the heart. Jesus put it this way in the volume of the book it is written, I came to do thy will, O God. I came to do thy will, O God. And he humbled himself in that commitment to obey God to the death of the cross. He was obedient to the death of the cross. That's what it means to take up your cross. It means to die to self so you can live unto God. You say, well, that's going to be a self-sacrificing life. But it's going to be the most fulfilling life you could ever live. For the joy that was set before him. That sounds like a contradiction, but for the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross while simultaneously despising the shame. Oh, friend of mine, you serve God from the heart. There's such a blessing in it. When you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. If you become rebellious and refuse and turn away and just do your own thing and try to claim the name Christian. Did you know they didn't initially call themselves Christian? They were called Christian when the culture around them saw how they were serving God and how they were following Jesus. They called them Christ-like. They called them Christians. These people are like the Jesus that came and the Jesus that walked through our streets. They're becoming more and more like him. They are Christians, not just in name, but Christians indeed. Christians in their good works. You know, the Bible said men would see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. People think of philanthropy. That could be a lot like Jesus. Yeah, it could be, but it in and of itself, it is not. A great philanthropist of our day would be Bill Gates with his billions. He has all kinds of things that he's donated millions to. But that doesn't mean he's a follower of Jesus. Sometimes following Jesus requires personal sacrifice. You know, it doesn't cost him anything in terms of sacrifice. When you're a billionaire, to give away $1 million, write it off on your taxes instead of giving it to Uncle Sam. That doesn't cost anything. Listen, but if we commit to follow Jesus out of a deep devotion, gratitude to him, as dear children, we begin to follow God. He blesses us, he keeps us, he protects us, he provides for us, and he fulfills us. In fact, Jesus said this, It's better to give than to receive. What? How can that possibly be? Because it is more fulfilling. We're in a selfish, self-serving, lover of self, end time generation. But love of self has always been around since the fall. That's why in order to follow Jesus, the first prerequisite of discipleship, if any man would come after me, follow my example, let him deny himself, take up his cross, that means to crucify the flesh and the lust thereof, and follow through, become obedient as a dear child of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's read another scripture about the blessing of willing obedience. Psalm 1, 1 through 3. Listen, blessed, there it is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, there's the willing obedience, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he doth meditate day and night. Here's the blessing. Hallelujah. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaves shall not wither. Amen. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now this is the real prosperity message right here. It's not giving to get so we can be as wealthy as the world. Now God blesses giving, but he blesses willing obedience. It's the obedience. It's not even the amount. It's the obedience to God, and it's the willing obedience in particular. Praise God. Amen. What a blessing it is to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in its season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Praise God. This prosperity message means that he will, well, Paul put it this way, I would that you prosper and be in good health, listen, even as your soul prospers. This is prospering to where we get a different value system than the world. Be content with such things as you have, for he said, I'll never leave you. So be content with his promise to be with you. And don't look at things like the world does. They see everything through the lens of materialism and self-fulfillment and self-aggrandizement and self-exaltation. Everything is about me. It's like the little song or poem that says, I gave a tea party at 3 for me, myself, and me. Amen. I drank the tea. I ate the cake and poured the tea and passed the tea to me. Dear friend of mine, it's not about you and me and what we, looking at the world's value system in comparison. No, we serve a God who says, love not the world nor the things that are in it. Not talking about the earth that he made good and nature and all the wonderful things that he hath made for our enjoyment. But that system, that value system of fallen man and women in the fallen world that is under the influence of the evil one. Friend of mine, today God is calling us to come out from among them and be separate. And you know what separates you? Willing obedience will separate you not only from the world, but it will separate you from the tares among the wheat. People who claim the name Christian, but in no way from the heart are willing and obedient to deny themselves, take up their cross, whatever the cost, in order to follow through and follow Jesus Christ's example. Hallelujah. Who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross while simultaneously despising the shame. Hallelujah. We should serve him from the heart. Look at this progression here. First, he walked not in the counsel of the ungodly. First, he walks in ungodly counsel. This is the people that are falling away. He walks in ungodly counsel. He listens to the talking heads on television, the false news. He listens to their narrative instead of getting in the Word of God so he can get the Word of God in himself. So he's got ungodly counsel that he's living his life by, setting his standard by, developing his values by. First, he's just walking. But listen, he's becoming more comfortable with the ungodly world around him. Second, he stands in the way of sinners. Now he's more comfortable just standing with them. He's not just walking. He's now standing in the way of sinners. And third, now he can sit down. He's comfortable in the world. The world and its value system is his element. He sits in the seat of the scornful. He is comfortable and he is compromised. He listens to the ungodly counsel. He allows sin to enter his life. He's no longer convicted, going along with the flow, following the course of this world. He's chosen the curse of disobedience over the blessing of obedience. But blessed is the man, hallelujah, that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Listen, friend, I want to go back up just a minute while we have a little time left. Remember Lot? Lot had the blessing of being a seed of Abraham upon him. He didn't have to go anywhere to be blessed except to follow God in his life, to delight himself in the law of the Lord, and seek to be obedient from the heart to God. But they went by a couple of cities, Sodom and Gomorrah. And Lot saw the agricultural wealth outside the city that made both cities such places of commerce and prosperity in the physical material world. And he said, I looked and I saw that the land, the pasture land and the agricultural development land outside those cities was at Eden. He wasn't in Eden, but he imagined the Garden of Eden before the fall to be this rich and this productive. And the Bible said he pitched his tent toward Sodom. Now he's walking. He's just walking now, walking toward Sodom. I'm not going to go in that ungodly city, but boy, I could make a lot of money just outside its gates, and I could sell it to people going in and out. I could become rich. He walks in ungodly counsel. This is what you need to do. This is what you need to value. This is what you need to fulfill you. And then he stands in the way of sinners. First, he looks. And then he walks. Then he stands in the way of sinners. He's just outside. He's becoming comfortable with the culture that's going in and out to trade in the city of Sodom. And third, he sits in the seat of the scornful. He compromises his faith. He compromises his heritage as a seed of Abraham, with the blessing of Abraham promised to him. He sits in the seat of the scornful. He is satisfied to move into the city. He's now comfortable. He's compromised. He listens to ungodly counsel. And the Bible said in the New Testament that his soul was vexed, troubled by the ungodliness he saw day and night. And yet he was willing to stay in that messed up place in order for the material wealth and the material blessing. He gave up that. Oh, God would have blessed him. Listen, Abraham, God blessed him materially, and he didn't compromise in order to obtain the blessing. He didn't have to, and you don't have to, and you must not if you want the blessing of willing obedience. Praise God. Amen. Listen, he was so comfortable in Sodom that God had to send angels before they destroyed it to tell him, you got to get out of here. If you don't, you're going to be judged with them. But God wants you to come out from them. This is the message in the book of Revelation. Come out from among her, my people, speaking of Babylon. And particularly, there's a spiritual Babylon. There is the material Babylon. When Babylon falls, representing this world value system where money, gold, fortune, fame, what it can buy you and bring you is more important than anything else. Come out of her, my people. You don't belong in this system. You don't belong in that value system. Come out from among her, my children. Listen, lest you be a partaker of her plagues. The judgment is already pronounced. Oh, Babylon is standing tall, standing with a defiant disobedience to God. More than ever, the spirit of disobedience. The Bible spoke of the world outside the kingdom of God. It talked about the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Oh, friend of mine, I want the Holy Spirit to work in me, not the devil, not demons that are controlling all of the values of this world, blinding men to the need for salvation of their soul, and that they will never be fulfilled with what, if they accumulate all the riches and wealth and fortune and fame of the world, all of the accolades and applause of the world, they will never be fulfilled until God takes His rightful place in their heart and in their life. But in Christ, it says that God has given us all things that pertain to life and to godliness, everything we need to live a fulfilling life here, the abundant life, the real true riches, amen, of pleasing God and serving God and to be pleasing to God. Everything that pertains to God that will please Him, that will bring His favor upon our life. Hallelujah. His blessing, His provision, His protection. You know, He could make you rich if riches is not what you're after. But there's no promise He's going to make all of us rich in the wealth of the world, especially if it would ruin you, amen, fill you with pride and arrogance and disobedience. But for a friend of mine today, you will be rich in joy, rich in peace, things that money and things can't buy. Oh, fulfillment in your heart and in your mind. What marketplace anywhere in the world, if you were a multibillionaire, could you buy the peace that comes of being reconciled unto God? The peace of God will keep your heart and mind. It's the only thing that can. Otherwise, people will stay troubled. The wicked are like the troubled sea that cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace to the wicked. So come out from among them. Stand not in the counsel of the ungodly. Amen. Don't walk in ungodly counsel. Don't stand in the way of sinners. And don't sit in the seat of the scornful. But be delighted in the law of the Lord and in His law. Meditate that you might be obedient, that you might be blessed of the Lord. Amen. This is a crucial message to counteract a false message, bringing a false peace and a false prosperity. It is not the message of Jesus. It is not the lifestyle of the apostles. It is certainly not the lifestyle of the prophets. Dear friend of mine, be a disciple of Jesus and find in Him everything you need to be fulfilled in this life and to fulfill what God requires, that you might be a dear child. Follow God as dear children, respectful, reverent, thankful, and showing it all through humble obedience. Oh, friend of mine, we need to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Hallelujah. I will receive you. For what fellowship hath light with darkness, or Christ with the devil, Belial? Amen. I will receive you, and I will be a father to you, and you'll be my sons, my daughters, saith the Lord. I will sanctify you, cleanse and set you apart as you offer yourself to be sanctified. Amen. And then you will find real, true, abundant life. Amen. And you'll be ready for the coming of Jesus. You'll be saved. All your sins forgiven. You will be saved and sealed by the Holy Spirit Himself, and you will be safe from the wrath to come, and you will enjoy peace every step of the way toward eternity. You will have peace, you will have joy, you will have fulfillment, and whatever condition you find yourself in, having Christ promised to never leave you, you will find contentment. You won't always be getting and never, ever have enough. Hallelujah. Oh, today I encourage you to be blessed by obedience from the heart. If you don't know Jesus, there's a spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, and it's not God's spirit. You're not neutral. You're under the direct, distinct influence of a fallen angel called the devil, who rebelled in heaven. And with his fallen angels and demons, he has brought a spirit of rebellion, the spirit of lawlessness, into this world. And we're seeing it play out in our cities across America and across the world. We're seeing the chaos. We're seeing the anarchy. We're seeing people say over and over again, we will not have this man, Jesus Christ, rule over us. But if we don't come under God's rule, we're going to be under somebody else's rule. We're going to make that choice to give place to the devil. And when we do, we see the chaos that our world is in today. You don't want to be part of that. You don't want to be left here when Jesus comes. You don't want to face the judgment, the day of trouble, the day of the Lord that is coming very soon as well. You want to go home with the Lord. You want to be a dear child, taken up by a loving Father, embraced by a wonderful Savior as His very own. I will be a father to you. You'll be my sons. You'll be my daughters. And it goes on to say, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Hallelujah. Let us have a desire to crucify the flesh, that we might follow Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let's cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, and be true followers of Jesus Christ. Having these promises, it should stimulate us to come out from among them, to set ourselves apart unto God, that He might cleanse us, sanctify us, literally, not just spiritually through the blood, where we can have a relationship, but practically and personally would be meat for the Master's use. Just your contentment alone, amen, and your hope for the future and your peace of heart and mind, you'll be like a city set on a hill. God can use you to be a witness to the world that kingdom will never find, no matter how many sins they commit, how much wealth they obtain, how much fame and fortune and applause of men. They will never find what you have in abundance unless they come to Christ, repent of their sin, deny their self, take up their cross, and follow Him. Today, Christian, it's time. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. As for me, and as much as I can influence my house, we're going to follow the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. How about you today? Today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your personal Savior, today, I am convinced that God is calling you. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience is the devil himself. What fellowship hath Christ with the devil? None. You say, well, preacher, I believe in God. I just don't get this church thing and this living in this rigid religious. It is not rigid and religious. It's rigid. Oh, yeah, God says you as a child of God, you don't do this and you should do that. And, oh, yeah, but there's joy in it. There's peace in it. There's power in it. There's deliverance from the influence of the enemy in it. So good to lay down my head at night and not feel guilt and shame and fear. Hallelujah. I used to pray it at night, the little simple children's prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, pray the Lord my soul to take. Take me to heaven. Take me home with you. Don't leave me down here in this messed up world. Don't let me be influenced by the evil one. Let me be influenced by the Holy One. You know, Jesus said, except you become as a little child, humble, willing, obedience, you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You may have so many muscles that you could bench press a Buick. You're big man, you're strong man, or you may be a little man or little woman. The point is, you have a strong, stubborn will, and if you'll surrender it, humble yourself, He will save you. He will seal you with the Holy Spirit as you repent of your sins. Keep you safe from the wrath to come. Come to Jesus.